We're going to go to the Mets, but obviously we got to talk Rangers. I'm still stunned about how that Rangers game ended, but I'm also stunned with what has transpired here in the Mets game. So you just heard, and I was trying to figure it out before the break. I'm like, what are they reviewing? They're not reviewing the hit by pitch. Everybody knows. They were reviewing the check swing from Whit Merrifield that turned into a walk but could have been a strikeout. And that's going to end up probably being the story of this game. I just saw Andy Martino wrote, the bases should not have been loaded in this Mets game. Whit Merrifield swung at that pitch on which he walked. The game shouldn't be tied, but it is. And the Mets, with the good part of the order up, Francisco Lindor lines out to second base. Pete Alonso grounds out to short. J.D. Martinez strikes out swinging, but J.D. Martinez balled tonight. Before that, he was 3-for-3 with two doubles, a single, and a walk. 877-337-6666. Ross in Bergen County could probably tell me what went on with the Rangers and the Mets. What's up, Ross? You're back on the fan.
Keith, I'm freaking livid, dude, all right? All right? And listen, I know you got a show to host. I could give a rat's ass. And a team that got freaking complacent with a 3-0 lead, all right? And it kind of falls on me, too, because you know what? What an ass I am to think they could handle a 3-0 lead. All right, but I see all the people, all right, with the pulling the brooms out, the emojis like last year, the broom away. You brought up Beningo. I can't even talk, dude. This is nothing more than a team that just fell flat on its face and took advantage of a lead, got comfortable, and then now looking at game by game as, oh, it doesn't matter because they're fighting for our lives and we're not. It's what I heard two nights ago, game four, everybody saying, oh, Carolina's fighting for their playoff lives. They, you know, you should expect it a fire under their ass compared to ours. I was thinking, you know what, that's going to be the rest of the freaking series for them then. And that's what it is tonight. You don't see that excuse tonight. What's different about tonight, Keith? Right? Because for them, it was lose or go home. For us, oh, we still got leverage. We could still go down a rally. We could give up a game because as long as we got game seven under our MSG ceiling. The same thing with the Knicks. The only thing is they got that injury excuse, if you even want to say that. And that's also a team that's not in a way, you know, you could say they're in win now. But look at these contracts, man. I know I don't want to talk about offseason, but I've lost all faith, all right? I wish I was as optimistic as that last caller. This team is absolutely shot. Momentum's all the way back in Carolina. And this team, look at Igor, dude. Look at Panarin. He's got, what, like 3 years left? You know how fast those years are going to go trickling by? And I hate to say it with the season he had, but he's been a pretty big zero so far, aside from game three. I know we looked at 22. Forget about last year. And last year, oh, by the way, same thing. They were up 2-0. Right, you guys, your Devils were 2-0. You know, you guys were, yeah, two games of leverage before you guys were fighting for your lives. And the same exact thing, dude, they got to the MSG and they got complacent. All it took was one goal. And I told you, I think it was game two, I said, don't let them, because the double OT, I said, all it takes is one little crack in the window. And this time it happened to be former Ranger Brady Shea is the reason. We might be looking at the fifth freaking time we see a blown 3-0 lead. We're talking about a President's Trophy winner right now, 94 shot. Where's that? Where's that back pocketed thing, right? Oh, would you rather sweep or lose game four to keep the 94 script going? Well, that's gone too. So now we got our pockets hanging out. We got, you know, it's going to be another year. I got to see the freaking Facebook jokes of I went to Lundquist's house for a cup of coffee or for a cup of coffee, but there were no cups. It's going to be the next 20 freaking years with Igor. If we're lucky, you'll probably walk. We'll probably go to San Jose.
As you say that, wild pitch from Reed Foley to advance Manfred's man on second to third. The,
you know, I'll have the go-ahead run ramp for them in October. No, you know, not even. They're not making the playoffs. What am I saying, dude? I'm just, you know what, dude? I'm so out of it. Right? You see, but Trouba finally does.
Let's talk about the game, though, Ross, because we were watching, Zoo and I were watching the game. It's a 1-0 game going into the third period.
They can't play a full 60 minutes. They can't. They refuse. And I should have taken it for granted when the 20 minutes they fell asleep for was the first. Because you could say comeback kids or make it happen blue shirts. Something tonight, it was they decided to play the first 40. They didn't look half bad in the first period. The last couple minutes, you know, they were getting toyed with in their zone. But you could live with it. And they had the lead. And the third period, dude, you would have thought they got drugged going into that third period, dude. I swear they were catching Z's or something. I swear to God, I tweeted out, like, capture the flag, and they just all huddled around their flag. And then when a king grabbed it, they were freaking lost. I'm trying not to drop the other F5. You know what, dude? And you look at the game, all four were in the third period. All four. But three, you know, you count the, you don't count the empty net.
But that's what I was saying, bro. It was one period to win to advance to the Eastern Conference. Like, and I just saw, now I'm getting all the post game stuff. Vincent Trocheck said, I think they just wanted it more in the third. Like, they turned it up a level clearly in the third that the Rangers were not able to match.
This is a guy with Trocheck who's been getting under their skin. You know, he's a former Kane. He's been one of the better guys on the team to be doing that. And he knows, too. He knows their shot. He knows because this is a – what do you – you know, you want to talk about house money. It's not even house money because this is a winner all-in year. And listen, dude, you're looking at Carolina team. All it took was one freaking crack in the window, and now they're back in it. Now they're back – I'm saying they're back in it. They got all leverage in the world. And they're – and you want to talk about Indiana home field advantage. They're the same thing. Home court, they're the same thing with home ice. I think they were showing it since they've gone like 5 years in a row making the playoffs. They're like 4-13 on the road. 4-13 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then a win and go home game all over again. The one game at a time they're looking at was the Rangers are just, you know, on a train to nowhere, just one game at a time, just snoozing by. And before they know it, it's going to be game seven. It's going to be, and just when we thought we avoided with the Caps, I gave them their flowers, wrapping up a team who shouldn't even been in the playoffs in the first place, made it by default, let's be honest. Gave them their flowers then, and you go up 3-0, you're like, holy F, you know, this has got to be a pipe dream. And they kick you in the nuts, and you're right back to square one.
Yeah, but also it's because of how close those games were, and they edged them out just enough.
Right.
Even the last overtime win, the double overtime win, like they just had
it. The widest margin of a win was 4-1 against Washington. I mean, I'll take a sweep, but you're looking at Florida, 6-1 against Boston. And they, and even Boston, too, is like 5-1. They can't play. I hate to – it's apples to oranges, but it's the same thing with my Vikings. Remember a couple of years ago, every win was 31-28, final minute by the skin of their teeth, and the losses were over in the first quarter. They took a game off freaking national TV. That's how bad it was. They're going to do the same thing. You see Ray Ferraro is the biggest anti-Ranger shiller. He's probably got the Hurricanes goal song playing in his AirPods as the game's going on. ESPN is loving this, too. That's what, you know what?
They hate us. The national perspective, they can't wait to see the Rangers fall, the Knicks fall. It's like,
they're loving
they don't even hide it at this point.
Oh, my God, dude. At least we got Rempe, though. We could sell some T-shirts.
Yeah, Rempe was the story of the early part of the game, and it didn't turn into a win.
All right, man. I'll call you on Thursday when this is tied and going back to the Garden.
Yeah, watch the Mets. Watch the Mets. The Mets come back, or I don't know.
You know what, dude? I need a break from this crap. Like you said, you know, why can't I get into, like, botany or something? Could have been a florist.
An
archaeologist, really
cool.
Dude. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I have those thoughts all the time. As like, Richie asked me, what movies have I watched lately? None. I don't even think to cut on a movie or go to the movie theater. I open up the FanDuel app, and I see, all right, who's playing today? Do-do-do-do-do. And then I go watch the games. And even when I'm not watching the game, I'm listening to the game. And even when my wife thinks I'm out doing something and I'm not paying attention to the game, I can stream the game on my phone. There's four different leagues. There's somebody always playing. There's either a local team, a team I root for, or a player that I want to watch. And I do think sometimes, man, how come I couldn't have just been into, like, fossils or something? How come I couldn't have just been into outer space? You know, why couldn't I have this same passion for plumbing? Like, because this sports stuff, man, it is, it messes with your emotions. And it leaves you high and dry more than not. We're not all going to win. Every year we come in thinking one of our teams is going to win the championship. Nah, and it leaves you feeling empty. You feel you're in despair. It's the highest of highs and lowest of lows, especially when in the series. I was talking about myself not being a quote-unquote fan or diehard. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the Knicks. It's not a quote-unquote anything. I'm not a Knicks fan or Rangers fan. I didn't grow up rooting for the teams. I didn't follow the teams. I didn't know if that ball was getting up there or not. It's a sack fly to right field. Bryson Stott has now put the Phillies ahead 5-4 in the top of the 10th with one out, one on. Let's see how this goes now. I hate the extra innings because it's just like, bro, and I know it's never going to change because they've changed it now, but like, Reed Foley comes into the game. There's a man on second. How did that guy get there? Not for me. I throw one wild pitch because I'm just coming into the game, and then that runner ends up on third. I give up a fly ball. It's a sac fly. That ghost runner that was on third base because he advanced from second base on a wild pitch. How did he get to first base second? Like, it just doesn't make sense. If I'm a reliever, I hate pitching in extra innings because I have to worry about that runner on second base that I didn't put there. I didn't give that up. I got to be perfect. And they could lose this game 5-4, and you know what it's on? A wild pitch and a sack fly. 877-337-6666. Let's talk a little Knicks again before we go back to the Rangers conversation. Whew, law of the garden. The Rangers lose in the garden tonight. The Knicks have to win game 5, right? Let's see if Bobby and Belmore agrees. You're with me, right, Bobby? Game 5 must win for the Knicks with the Rangers losing. The Knicks are definitely winning.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Rangers also. Let me start with the Yankees, Bob, quickly.
Yeah, you got it.
It's funny how I know the fourth and fifth starters, I mean, they're the best two starters on the team, right?
Right. Coincidentally enough, the youngest guys, the guys that don't have big money, the guys that we were ready to replace with Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell or whoever else.
Yeah, and it's fine. Now, let me get to the Rangers and Knicks. I didn't mention the Rangers, but I'm going to talk about the Rangers first. You know, if it goes to a game 7, you don't think not only the Devils blown the lead 2-0 to the Devils last year, but 2 years ago, they were up 2-0 on Tampa.
Those thoughts are creeping into their head now. They're creeping into all of our heads now. Like, this is deja vu. They have more of blowing it in their recent history. This isn't 94. If they go I think they got to win it in 6 because anything can happen in game 7. You do not want that kind of pressure with the Rangers' recent history.
And, you know, they were up 2-0 in that game 3 in Tampa, and they lost 4 in a row. So, I mean, I hope I don't see the same thing as 2 years ago. I think there's a better comparison than last year because they had a real good team 2 years ago. You know, last year, you know, team, you know, wasn't as good. But
they should have beat Tampa, and they should have beat the Devils. And because they went up early and took their foot off the gas, I feel like this team is more locked, though. I think tonight was just – they got tonight in that third period.
I agree, but there's some guys on that team that were on that team 2 years ago. And if it goes, they got to win in Carolina. You can't go to a game.
Yeah, you don't want to come back up here.
1-0 game. 2-1 game. The Rangers 5-5 is 22nd in the league. Okay, yeah. So
you can't go from winning 7 in a row in the postseason to losing 4 in a row.
That would be crazy. Let me get to the Knicks. When you lose your best defensive player in Oakley against the best offensive team in the league, it's going to stink. I mean, you know, it's just obvious. And I think I'm going to say about Tibbs. He's done a great job. But, you know, in the Philadelphia series, Burke didn't play. Akub didn't play. I mean, those are two major guys. You know, that now he's playing them right now. And Burke has been weak for 15 years. He's looked good. I don't understand why. Considering their injuries to Randall and Brokovich and you know, Brunson now banged up, why weren't these guys playing early in the Philadelphia series? And they were not now, you know, all these guys have played seven-man rotation.
Tom don't trust them. You know, he trusts the guys that he's used to playing that play a lot of minutes, and he sticks with them. Well, he's not trying to bring these guys off the bench, but now he has no choice. He has to.
But he said, but when you play such a short man rotation, I mean, if they blow this series because of the injury, I'm not saying injuries are the coach's fault, but he's had a reputation of doing it.
Oh, yeah, we know what the narrative is going to be. If they do lose this series, Brunson is compromised, Isaiah Hartenstein is compromised. So if one of them go down in game 5, they're going to say, especially people that did not watch the Knicks night in, night out in every game of these playoffs, they're going to say, this is what happens with Tom Thibodeau's teams.
Yeah, and it's funny. The Rangers and Knicks won their first 5 playoff games total, and now they've lost their last 4. And I can see both. I think it's a must game for both teams next game. I think, obviously, game 5, they're going to get blown in Indiana. If they don't win the gun, I think it's done. But the Rangers also have to win the next game because I don't think, like I said, I don't think they're going to impress me so much on the Rangers what happened in the last 2 years in their heads, all these comebacks. It's deja vu.
It's like, no, it's happening again. We're closer to what we were than what we want to be. Like, fear sets in, that reality sets in, that they've choked it away the last 2 years, and the Hurricanes know that, too.
Yeah, and the Hurricanes are, you know, they have the goalie, they have the pressure, they have a better 5-on-5, you know, they're one of the top teams of 5-on-5 in the league. So I think the Rangers, you know, they can't fall behind tomorrow. I mean, I'm sorry, on was it Wednesday? Whenever they play Wednesday. So if they fall behind, I don't know if they have enough firepower. They're scoring just on their special teams. And listen, that definitely gets you to a Stanley Cup. I mean, the Islanders of the 80s were unbelievable in power play. They actually won their first Stanley Cup. It was so dominant against Philadelphia. In the first. So I'm not saying it's not important. It is. But you got to have the 5-on-5 play. And, you know, they were ranked. That's why they weren't one of the top five teams favored in Vegas. Because, because of their 5-on-5. It was one of the lower percentile, in the league. So, they better get to 5-on-5. They came around the goalie. You know, he's standing on his head. I know he let a couple of goals in tonight. But, I always, they have to, it's like Lundqvist a little bit all over again, But you're relying on the goalie. You got to score goals. And you can't just score, power play goals. And, you got to score even-handed if you're going to beat good teams like Carolina. And tonight, and, all these games have been one goal game. So, I mean, they're very evenly matched, even though they were up 3-0. And now, considering the last 2 years, they better win tomorrow on Wednesday, because I would not be confident going to the game, game 7.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. I don't mean to laugh, but I just had a thought. Richie and Queens, I don't watch movies, because I'm watching two of them right now, the Knicks and the Rangers in the postseason. Get your popcorn ready. The plot thickens. And I just thought of something, and I retweeted it because I had it in my notes. Our very own Sean Morash, my Taurus brother, fellow Taurus. Happy birthday. Sean Morash wrote this morning. It was one of the first tweets I saw earlier today as I don't usually get going till like 10:30, 11. Well, I got up and took care of my son and went back to sleep and then got back up. But you understand. 11:17 a.m. And I think Sean is still on vacation. I don't think I heard him on the afternoon show. Sean writes, I promise I'm not some late 30s dude looking for happy birthday wishes, but the Rangers never lose playoff games on my birthday. Let's go tonight. And then he quote tweeted the Rangers videos post that says, Happy Henrik Day. And it flashes to 2013, 2014, 2015, and all the Game 7 wins and King Henry having 35 saves in those games. Damn. Sean Morash. I remember last year when he was doing all that sweeping of the bar with the broom. I was out. I was on paternity leave. But I bookmarked all that stuff. I remember WFAN played into that. I was like, I can't believe y'all would play into this. And he went viral in the hockey community. I saw him pop up on TikTok. They didn't even know who he was. They were calling him Rangers Broom Guy. And a lot of people still look at him as the mush from last year. They put it on him. And as I say that, the Phillies beat the Mets 5-4, and that's not a good – that's a bad loss. That's not good at all. Edwin Diaz blows his second – save in three opportunities. And the ump show, welcome to the ump show, is prevalent again with a check swing that ends up walking in a run. And then we also have the conversation of Manfred's man on second. And like I said, that nonsense with that ghost runner on second base, you have a... That lady that they put on screen with the Mets hat, she was a perfect person to put on camera. SNY does a great job. Even in a loss, they're like, hey, put her on the screen. She looks sick. And, you wonder why they're not pulling up. They're not pulling up to see that. That's not great. That's just like, there's just so many things from the end of that Mets game that should have been a win. Ba-na-ba-ba, ba-na-na-ba-ba, womp, 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 the trumpets come out, and I told y'all, man, they did too much with the trumpet. Like, let's add a whole light show. Honestly, I think bro should have changed his whole entrance music. You know why? Because Timmy Trumpet came here and said, yeah, next time I'm going to come and perform when we win the World Series. And I was like, hey, yo, did somebody, nobody educated this man on who he's out here representing? He's got a Mets jersey on. He's on the field in Queens talking about, yeah, I'm going to come perform next time when we're in the World Series. I would have retired it after that season. No more trumpets. There's plenty of other dope songs. Got to do something new. You guys added the light show to it. Edwin Diaz blows another save. And, yeah, you've got the check swing to walk in a run. Show on top of Edwin Diaz blowing another save. And then Manfred's man on second. The difference in the game, the run to win the game, advances on a wild pitch and scores on a sack fly. 877-337-6666. What happened to the most wonderful time? We're not having so much of a fun time anymore. The Rangers lose. The Knicks got absolutely ran off the floor yesterday. The Mets blow it with the black jerseys on a Monday. And at least my Yankees are off. But they're about to face the Twins. And I'm telling you, don't be surprised if the Twins actually hang with the Yankees. I don't know. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let me see if I can sneak in another call, Zoo. I'll take a call. We're about to break in a minute. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night. After 11, let's go to Southwest Florida and talk to Ron on the Fan in New York. Hello, Ron.
Hey, I'm not going to be Monday morning quarterback on this stuff. I've been saying this since the Rangers got into the playoffs. There was a reason we won the President's Cup. And there was a method that we did it. And the Rangers, I thought, it would stick by the guns that they had, which was every fifth or sixth game, Jonathan Quick came in and gave a break to Igor, all right? And I got reamed a couple times. I said it to a couple other people, and they all like, oh, you're nuts. You got to leave your number one guy.
I mentioned it on my show Friday. Even with my guests, I'm like, why do you have Jonathan? I don't know. And they're like, no, you don't mess with that. Igor's been so good. I'm like, yeah, but you're up 3-0.
Perfect time to do it. And he got hit in game either 3 or 4. He got hit behind the net and spun around really bad. And like, you know, looks like to me, if I'm playing goalie, you hit me there and spin out my left groin, I'm going to be a little hampered. All right? Now, we would have not had a game 5 if he played game 4 after Igor just went double overtime and single overtime. They'd be playing golf, chilling out and relaxing. Now, thank God we have 3 games. The coach doesn't obviously thinks that he knows better than what he's done all year and needs to be changed in the playoffs. But in addition to that, pulling Rempe in game 3, bringing Cheadle in after, or who the hell are they bringing? The guy who's been out since November, bringing him for a shot. We luckily won game 3, and then he was completely discombobulated in game 4 because they don't have that camaraderie in the dugout that they've had for the last, you know, 3 months when they were the most vicious team in hockey and looked like no one was going to beat them. They win 4 in a row, and I tell everybody that's mandatory. We're playing against a team that shouldn't even be in the playoffs, right? We win 2 in a row. That's also mandatory. Don't take a nap on it. And then he goes and changes the team for a little bit there in 2 games, realizes the camaraderie's not there, the vibe's not there. They're dumping and diving, skating backwards. Almost looks like they're playing defense the whole time. They're getting one pass and done. And the passes aren't even clean. You know, they're throwing pucks behind people, not giving Panarin his puck in stride, and all that stuff. I mean, so to me, I blame the coach because he knows Jonathan Quick played every sixth or seventh game and gave Igor a break, and this has been perfect, right? Tonight at home, or actually, he should have done it game 4 down in Carolina.
So here's a question for you, Ron, with 3 games to go, or no, 2 games to go now left in the series. Do you think they're going to do that? I don't think so. I think it's Igor the rest of the way.
And I'm not worried about it because Igor's getting 3 days off,
Right, with the extra day off. That should help too, and I mean you're putting it on Laviolette. I mean he better get to work. I'm reading some stuff. He's saying there was a lot of issues tonight. It wasn't just the third period. Like there's a lot of work to do in between games here.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that because he basically put a wrench in the team by putting those players in the middle of the series. You know we're playing against one of the best teams in hockey, and you put a guy who hasn't played since November in. And you take Rempe, who's like an energy provider. He's a fun guy to have around the locker room. I mean, everyone, they're laughing, they're giggling. He's always got something, you know, to say to the guys. You can see how they react with him. Even like guys like Kreider are amused by the guy, and they're, you know, impressed by what he brings to the table, which is, don't hit my guy because I'll come out here and I'll hit you back. And, you know, they didn't even give him the chance to really do that tonight. But then again, he had to take two games off, so he's kind of playing shy or worrying about, will I play game six? Are they going to bench me again?
Yeah.
You don't want guys playing with doubt.
I know. It's just an interesting dynamic with this Rempe kid, and then Hedl coming back is supposed to be a part of the movie and the story. Blake Wheeler. I forget what else I was going to say. Jonathan Quick. Being it, like, it's just like you can't change too many things. But
Quick wouldn't be changing things. That's how we got here.
Yeah.
So we survived this round. Quick better play one game against the Panthers to give Shesterkin a break. I mean, that's what we did all year long. That's how we got here. That's how we got the president's cup. We didn't do it by one man taking the entire load. And that's what made Igor incredible, was he had that break. And also, you know what else that did for the rest of the team? That made the team step it up a notch. That made the team stay harder, play harder. They're like, you know, our main man, Igor, is taking a night off. We got Quick. We trust him. But you know what? We got to bring it harder tonight because we don't have the comfort of having a guy make 55 saves in a double overtime. And then, I don't know, he went like 80 shots on goal, and he like let one up there for some stretch. So, you know, Igor is the guy. There's no variable to it. He's the greatest hockey goalie I've ever seen, and no offense to Mike Richter, but what Shesterkin does is just brutally amazing.
Yeah, not a great night in a closeout night on your home ice with the chance to advance to the Eastern Conference. Not good. Not good. Thanks for the call, Ron. No Filip Hedl. And you get Matt Rempe. I know I saw earlier that Blake Wheeler was skating without the non-contact jersey, but he's not back. Jonathan Quick, we had the conversation Friday about, hey, you're up 3-0. Do you throw Jonathan Quick in there to get... And you know, Rami was on with me. He said no as a Rangers fan. Johnny Lazarus... NHL analyst said, no, absolutely not. Igor's been playing great. You don't mess with that. But now you definitely don't mess with that. You're not throwing him in the game 6 or 7. It's on you, Igor. And really, it's on the guys in front of him. They got to score. And they got to defend better. Like, that third period, I'm still blown away as I was sitting here, like, how quickly they melted in the third period. Keith McPherson on the fan. Obviously, it's wide open now. The Mets game is going to be a topic of conversation because... just the way that game ended, the Mets should have won that game. And that's a division rival, one of your biggest rivals. That's a team that you had beat 4-3, should have been the final score. But, you know, check swing, Edwin Diaz blowing another save, a pass ball, a sack fly, and you lose that first game. The Knicks conversation, you know, the Yankees conversation we're having as well. I've got about 90 minutes left, so let's go to the break. Keith McPherson on the fan. I'll be right back. I'm laughing, but it's not funny how quickly things change. Like, as I'm looking at Carlos Mendoza, and I think he's going to be a good manager. So far, I've just seen his demeanor and how he goes about things, how much passion he has for the team, for the players. Like, I think he's going to be a good manager. But the Mets should have won that game tonight. And now people are questioning Edwin Diaz. Obviously, people are questioning the umpires. I'm questioning Rob Manfred and the man on second rule. Yeah, had to hurry that up. Had to get all those Mets fans that packed the building out of there. You know, they didn't have time to see the Mets win. And they actually had a good number tonight. As I pull up the box score, 20. See, people probably heard Evan and Tiki and are on the internet and heard that the Mets' attendance is down, and they're being compared to the Oakland A's, who obviously their fans aren't coming out to support them. 28,000 on a cold Monday night? Good job, Mets fans. You deserve to see a win. You should have had a win, but a couple little stupid things, that Susan baseball, That's Baseball Susan. They happen, and you lose 5-4 to the hated Philadelphia Phillies. And not for nothing, the Phillies have the most wins in baseball. I don't know if that's true, but I could probably confirm that that's true. I think they have the most wins in baseball, and they're looking to be the first team to 30 wins. As I go to the standings and confirm with one quick look, what do the Dodgers have? No, yeah, the Philadelphia Phillies have 29 wins. They're in first place. And with the Rangers game, I think a lot of the Rangers fans and what I'm reading online, people are now just like, wait a minute. We got to go back to Raleigh? Thought we were going to sweep. Thought we weren't going to lose a game. Wait, thought tonight was supposed to be a celebration, a party. A small little party. No, that game changed completely in the third period. So Rangers fans call me up. Mets fans call me up. I'm here for you till 12. And for the Knicks fans, after 12, positive energy only, positive thoughts only. And I know that's not going to happen here on The Fan, but if I'm a Knicks fan, which I'm not thinking about losing in the Garden. I'm thinking about we have the Garden for a reason. I'm thinking about going to the Garden. I'm thinking this might be the last game in the Garden. I got to go. But positive energy, it won't be, because this is a must-win game for the New York Knicks without OG Anunoby. They hadn't lost back-to-back games with OG. Now they have. 877-337-6666. Chris is in Lynchburg, Virginia, back on The Fan. I know the Celtics have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're one game away.
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah, like I said, they got to win Wednesday. But
yeah, they're one game away. We know.
Thank God for them, because the Mets, that was just abysmal. And that was baloney how the ump did not call that a strike three. And Whit Merrifield, I've seen the highlights. But thank God I have the Boston Celtics. That's all I got to say at this point. Like I said, that was a great win by them tonight, especially because Mitchell was out. So I had a really bad feeling they were going to lay an egg. And at certain points of the night, it looked like it was. But they got the win. And if all goes well, they'll take care of business on Wednesday night, win the series. And then, like many Knicks fans are probably thinking, this is probably going to go to a game seven, in my opinion. I think the way I see it, the Knicks have to win game five. If they don't, I think Indiana wins this in six. If the Knicks win game five, I think this goes to a game seven, because I just think Indiana is going to win that last home game in Indianapolis, and force a game seven. So for the Celtics, me as a Celtics fan, things are going as planned, and it's going great so far. So, and at least for tonight, I'm glad they won, because that Met game was just painful to watch.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Chris. So Chris is a Mets fan, but he's living in Lynchburg, Virginia. He usually calls to boast about the Boston Celtics and how great they are, and they win 109-102 to take a commanding 3-1 lead, and the Cavs are cooked. The Cavs were not ever beating them. Most of us thought that the Cavaliers were going to be swept by them. They got that one game off, powered by Donovan Mitchell. He didn't play tonight. I don't know. They're not beating them. The Celtics are a 64-win regular season team. They have a ridiculous group of guys that I don't know how Adam Silver allowed them all to be put together. The Celtics are what we thought they were. They're on their way back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And for the Knicks fan, that's your prize. If you somehow do survive and win two out of these next three games, the rested Boston Celtics await you. What you say about that? Call me up and tell me. 877-337-6666. Josh and Passaic, what happened, bro?
What do you mean?
What happened between Edwin Diaz, the hit by pitch, the check swing, then...
Because they're the New York Mets, Keith. That's why.
Oh.
And did that, what,
they had
that?
Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, and J.D. Martinez up.
Right, and then J.D. Martinez actually been good till then. But listen, just the Mets, they score four hits Friday and Saturday. Not score, they get four hits.
These are
Friday,
Steve
Saturday.
Cohen's Mets. These are David Stern's Mets, though.
In the bullpen, it's starting to come crashing down. Edwin Diaz, how long are we giving him, and we're calling it because of the injury? Because it's been a few months already, and we were already talking about last year he's able to come back.
Yeah. I don't know. Edwin Diaz is not going to ever be, like I said, he's not going to ever be what he was in that faithful year, but he's still one of the best in the business. If you guys do want to trade him, if you want to trade him, Brian Cashman's waiting for the call.
I mean, there's so many guys that I would want to trade now. First of all, Marte strikes out underratedly a lot.
Jeff McNeil?
Hey, pop up. The guy that always is hitting single. You know, maybe with the guy in second, he'll come up. Nope. I told you, Keith, he never gets a job done when it really matters.
Bro, let's talk about Jeff McNeil for a second. 0 for 5 tonight. He's hitting in the eighth spot.
He only gets hits when it doesn't matter.
He's batting .230. He strikes out twice tonight. And it's just not good enough for a guy that, one, got paid. They did pay him. I know he didn't break the bank, but he did get paid. And two, this is a guy that won a batting title. If he's not a 300 hitter, what are we talking about? I guess you don't really have any other options.
50. At least the starting rotation isn't looking so bad, right? The worst guy
I thought
was going to be number one in Quintana. And then Senga, of course, delaying.
Everybody said that the Mets' starting rotation, their pitching, was going to be the weakness. It is actually rounding into form that if Kodai Senga comes back and looks somewhat like the guy he was last year, I don't know exactly what they have planned for Tyler McGill. Christian Scott, this kid looks the part. Luis Severino is the better version of himself right now. Sean Manaea has been good in his last few starts.
You don't have to worry.
Jose Buto has been decent. But you don't have to worry about Adrian Hauser starts anymore. And Jose Quintana, not for nothing, this is last year. Whatever. Bye. Like, if he can get bumped easily.
Right. That's a guy actually I think I would want actually to be knocked away from there. But with the Knicks, I was actually speaking to Knicks fans Saturday night. We were talking about the last game, and I was telling him, like, listen, DiVincenzo was all hot Friday night, and that's how they hung on him. Like, if he's off, we don't know what's going to be. And he agreed with me. He's like, I wonder what happens. I guess I need him. That was just a tough game, but that's the game you have to flush out of your mind going to the next day. And actually, it was like a similar play I had today itself. You know, that play with Halliburton where he got ran into and they called a foul on him. And all those Pacers fans are a bunch of babies. They don't even have the posters. Almost 99% of things they're holding up is fouls going up.
So weak. They definitely have some stupid Facebook group like Pacers Fans United, and they write in the Facebook group, they send little JPEGs like, hey, print this out on an 8x10 and bring it to the game on Sunday. Nerds. I see all of them in there. I'm just like, man, I never want to go to Indiana. I don't want to stop
there's
by.
There's definitely not a lot of Knicks fans that made that trip.
No. Why would you? The Knicks fans were out there Friday night. But Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, rather, 3:30, Mother's Day, nah.
And that was brutal. Then, and I think, guess who had the great weekend, even though the Mets are bad? My father. And this is four nights in a row, 4 days in a row.
Oh, being a hater?
He's having a rough week last week. It's looking better for him now. So he thinks he's taking the call. Have a good night.
Thanks for the call. The tide has turned for the haters. For those of you in the audience that can't wait for the Rangers to fail, for the Knicks to fail. Some of you even rooting against the make it happen Mets or whatnot. There you go. And I know everybody's like, that's another thing that's great about New York too. Is like, we're the only team everyone was really all in on, and it's not really everyone now with the New Jersey Nets moving to Brooklyn and being there for over 10 years. It was like, all right, the Knicks. All right, the Knicks are the only basketball team that you rep if you're from New York. Now there's some people that switch to Brooklyn, and I don't know. Not like that in hockey. There's three teams. Baseball has always been split up. Same thing with football. Now I'm going to drop my football notes in just for anybody that may want to hit that in the 11 o'clock hour. I mean, I hit you with a little bit of football stuff, talking about NBC and Netflix potentially getting a game and the schedule release stuff where we'll see Pat Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson as the Chiefs take on the Ravens to open up the season. And we know Tom Brady's first game, he will call Dak Prescott versus Deshaun Watson as America's team to laugh at plays against the miserable Browns without Joe Flacco. My other notes in the NFL space was the report that came out that the Jets made legitimate attempts this offseason to hire someone who would essentially replace Nathaniel Hackett, right? Not as a new offensive coordinator, but a title above who would run the show. Like, we're not going to fire you, bro. We understand your relationship with Aaron Rodgers, but after watching you try to figure out being an offensive coordinator for a year without him, nah, we can do better. Let's cast a wide net and see who's out there that isn't with one of the other 31 NFL teams, that isn't with any of the college teams, that might want to come in here and, I don't know, be the senior offensive coordinator. I thought that was hilarious. No one should be surprised by that. And if you're a Jets fan, kudos to the Jets for wanting better, knowing that they could do better and not saying, hey, we just got to stay the course. Because last year when we talked about them running it back with all these generational coaches being available, it seemed like madness. But it also seemed like the only thing they could do because they're attached to Aaron Rodgers. 877-337-6666. But Aaron Rodgers doesn't get to make decisions. I saw all those videos that came out. Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the war room with Joe Douglas. And he also doesn't get to say whether they bring somebody in and Nathaniel Hackett becomes an assistant offensive coordinator. He's not the highest in rank. The other thing is money, 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 money. The money. Antoine Winfield Jr. is now the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. He signed a 4-year, $84.1 million deal as a safety, bro. But I guess the money is just going up like that. And he is pretty good, and he is a Super Bowl champion. And there is a guy that plays corner that's going to be looking for his money next, Sauce Gardner. I saw Sauce Gardner comment on that. How much money is Sauce Gardner going to get paid? A lot. A lot when the time comes. And then also, the highest paid players in the league are quarterbacks. Jared Goff agreed to a 4-year deal as well. He got $212 million, $53 million per year. And you know what the stupid Jerry Joneses are doing? They haven't locked up Dak Prescott. They're going to see if Dak Prescott can come through this year. And then when Dak Prescott hits free agency and there's some quarterback needy team like the Falcons were this past year, so much so that they paid $100 million to Kirk Cousins and used their 8th overall pick on Michael Penix Jr. Somebody's going to pay Dak Prescott, and they're going to have to match that because Trey Lance is not the answer. Neither is Cooper Rush. So there's my NFL things to finish the early NFL points that I had. Something else I had in my notes that I wanted to bring up, and I thought about it when this guy scored that goal, Kuznetsov. Before the game, Bleacher Report Open Ice put out a quote, said, Cuzzy knows Game 5 at Madison Square Garden is going to be the Canes' biggest challenge yet. He said, it's going to be a dogfight. There's one bowl of food and two dogs going to compete against each other. Dude, dogs. The Canes just did damage. Why is everybody a dude dog now? Why is he making dude dog analogies going into the garden? He's stealing Loogie's thing. Koozie stealing Lukey's thing. This guy said, it's going to be a dog fight. There's one bowl of food and two dogs going to compete against each other. In that third period, we thought that the Rangers were the dog that was going to eat. Well, it's a dog eat dog world. The Canes came out and took all the food from the Rangers, and now they're heading back to Raleigh, North Carolina for a game 6. Matt is in Albany. Matt, you're on the Fan.
First time caller, disappointed Ranger fan.
Yeah, it's the time for it.
I thought they were badly outplayed the whole game, frankly. You know, I mean, I saw the first two periods. It seemed the puck was always in the Ranger end, and they were getting multiple chances. And then when the third period rolled around, they had attackers camped out in the slot, and you can't do that if you expect to win. I don't think it's on Shesterkin. I thought he played a good game, but his defensemen have to do the right thing. When you got guys out in the middle of the mouth of the goal like that, that's when you take a penalty. You got to keep them from making a shot, no matter what it takes.
Yeah, it just went south so fast. And as we were watching it in here, I'm like, they can't stop it. It was a goal every 3 minutes in that third period. And then
I got a nasty feeling that it's going to go 7. And, you know, you don't want it to go 7 because a slap shot on the ice hits a rut and takes a funny hop, and that's your season. So, I don't know.
And obviously we have the last couple years and the history here of taking a two-game lead in a series, but not a three-game lead. I still refuse to believe that the Carolina Hurricanes rip off four wins in a row against this Ranger
team. Well, we'll see. I certainly don't want the Blue Shirts to be on that part of history, but there's little that we can do as fans. The guys have to do it themselves.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Oh, no, sorry to cut you off, but it sounded like you were going to say, keep up the good work. And that's what I'm trying to do. Can I get another call in before we break and go to the update? No, we should bang it here. We're close already. Damn, this show flew by. I got 1 hour left. Keith McPherson on the Fan, your nighttime host, taking your calls, talking sports, Rangers, Mets, Knicks, did the Yankees. And coming up next is my Casamigos big shot of the night, but everybody lost, so I got to figure out who to give that to. And it's pretty much wide open mic for the last hour. Join me. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.